Talking sustainable living and the Woodlanders Gathering in Mineral Point, Wisconsin, coming up July 12th through the 16th with Daniel Mack. Daniel is founder of the Woodlanders Gathering. Really pleased to have him with us. He's an author, a naturalist, an advocate for sustainable living. And again, we hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234, or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890. And you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Let's try the lines again and see if Gail in Whitehall is with us. Gail, hi. Thank you for calling.
Howdy. You got a question now. Just wondering what the general consensus among the group would be on wind power. You, like me, probably own a lot more, have access to a lot more wind than you do coal, oil, or anything like that. So just wondering, you're talking about saving on electricity.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel on that, then?
All right. Daniel?
Yeah, I'm just seeing if I don't think we're addressing wind power exactly. We're doing some geothermal work, permaculture. Yeah. Again, I would invite Gail to come and talk about it. From my point of view, I'm in an area where there is not a huge amount of wind, and the choice that I have in this is to pay a little bit more to my local electric company, my local utility, and buy shares in green power. And they say to me, at least, that with this slight premium I'm paying, and it's only about a penny a kilowatt hour more around here, they are buying wind from, or they're buying power, electric power generated on wind farms. So that's one way that people who literally are not erecting windmills can participate in supporting alternative energy. So what happens when you do that is that you're putting money into a pot so that the traditional electric companies, utility companies, then go out and are mandated to actually buy from people who are doing wind farming.
I think we all agree it's... If you have access to it, you might as well use it.
I agree.
Yep. Okay.
But it's figuring out how cost efficient it is. I was in a discussion last night with someone, and they said it takes 17 years to offset the carbon footprint it takes to create a Toyota Prius.
Ooh, yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
So
it
you'd
is.
Have to ask similar questions about all the upfront carbon expenditure to erect the windmill arrangement in your area to see really if you're doing something that's going to save power and money in the long run.
You might as well drive a Cadillac Escalade as a Prius, perhaps.
Well, you're right. That's the kind of depressing form of it.
Yeah.
The other is he's not selling his other car right now. He's going to drive the other car, which is less carbon consuming than this other scenario would be.
Sure.
So a conference like this, a sustainable living conference, it just goes in so many different directions. But again, it's the beginning of local and regional communities of people who know each other. Who do I call to even discuss this with them? And that takes a little while to build that community. The Woodlanders itself has taken, I don't know, we've been at it 7 years now, and we're beginning to build these kind of layers and layers of people that if I want to learn something else about a certain kind of rustic building or basketry or whatever, I now have access to those people. Sustainable living movement, or what's called permaculture, is still in that stage, the early stages of that.
Sounds good.
Good.
Thanks very much for calling. I believe you're sort of addressing the sort of this area of permaculture. Is permaculture and sustainability, is that what you said? Is the same thing? Or
no, they're a little bit different. Permaculture is kind of an abbreviation of the terms permanent agriculture, and it subsumes a lot of the practices, those 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 things you should do to sort of consume less energy. But it's a larger pattern or view of how we live in harmony with the earth, what we do to grow our own food closer to home. It's quite a bit wider than just sustainable living.
Sherry and Spooner wanted to know if there was mercury in fluorescent bulbs.
Ooh, who we can ask about that?
I'm not sure. I think there may be some small amounts of mercury. We did a show a few days ago on recycling electronics, there are some companies now that, and we talked with the CEO of one of the companies about CRT Electronics recycling, about how it's done. And that question, I believe, came up, and I believe there are some materials in the fluorescent bulbs that could be an issue. Somebody else can probably call in and straighten me out exactly on that. But the new light bulbs have some need to be recycled properly, because there are materials in those the newest light bulbs that save us a lot of energy that also can create problems if they're thrown en masse into a landfill.
You raise a none of this is an easy question. So one, the recycling of the bulbs is an issue. The other is, I think I was in a group where we figured out that most of these bulbs are being made in China. Mm-hmm. The GE ones, they're, I think, very common on the market. And what are the issues that raises in terms of a global economy? Are we exporting? The questions never stop getting asked about, is that what we want to be doing? Are we to save energy at the cost of exporting either jobs to China or, you see where we go with this? Mm-hmm. Here's another 2 hours here, Larry.
Yeah. Sandy in Mineral Point, hello to you.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, Dan. It's
Hi, Sandy.
We're in Mineral Point at Shake Rag Alley, and I just wanted to be sure that folks knew that we have 1 day on sustainability, but 3.5 days of creating with natural materials, building rustic furniture like lamps and benches and tables and garden trellises and slab benches, et cetera, out of twigs and branches, and working with gourds and working with cement and hypertufa, wood carving, et cetera. So there is a lot going on in these 4 days in addition to the 1 day of sustainability on Thursday.
You can come for any one of the days or two of them, right? You don't have to be there for the whole thing.
All 3.5 or four.
Yeah.
4 days.
And what is the cost associated with this?
There are registration fees. The day of sustainability is an open day, but Friday through Monday, people come. They pay one fee for the day, and then they choose from. There's usually 16 or 17 workshops each day that they can choose from. And we have fossil expeditions. We're actually building a yurt together. So there's a lot of very exciting and interesting things happening, and so people do need to call and register. It's not an open event Friday through Monday, but Thursday, the sustainability day, is an open day.
By the way, how do people is the number that Dan gave out earlier the number to call, 608-987-3292?
Yes, Larry, that's one of them, or they can call 987-4499, either one of those numbers, or go to the site, woodlanders.com, and the entire schedule is there. This is sort of like a summer camp for adults, I think, what we call it, and folks come back year after year. We have a lot of new people coming every year, but it is like a reunion. These people come together and create things and can hardly wait to return. One night we just, Dan can tell you more about this, one night we just build small miniature boats out of twigs and feathers and whatever they find in the yard. And then at dusk, we launch them down the creek, candles, and we try to see who's will go the furthest. So it really is summer camp for adults.
Oh, thank you, Sandy. Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah,
Dan?
Fun is probably, that's a good word. That's why some of the sustainable talk, it gets off of being fun and you get very serious. But we have to, a lot of this, the emotion of fun is the thing, is the fuel that drives a lot of this other work, that we have to have access to joy, to awe, to wonder in the world, to keep yourself from absolutely spiraling down into kind of a depression at times, so that Woodlanders is meant to balance off some of the very serious issues of living contemporarily in this world with just kind of play, serious play.
Yeah. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you very much, Larry. See you soon, Dan.
Bye. I'll be out next week.
All right. Appreciate the call. Well, you're a rustic furniture designer, as a matter of fact, and maker, and talk about some of the workshops you hold to teach your trade.
Yeah, I'm teaching a bunch of people, adults right now. There's a policeman and a lawyer and people who, again, are looking for kind of relief work in their lives. They in certain parts of their lives, they have to be very serious, very organized, and they want that moment where the rules change, where they get to do other things. So that's where I teach people, and I'm teaching mostly adults, although sometimes I go into the public schools and work with children. But children have a much better intuitive sense of playing than adults do. Adults have to be reminded how to play. Speaking of which, Larry, how do you play?
How do I play?
Do you make anything? Do you do anything?
Well, actually, I do a lot of things outdoors with my daughter. I take my daughter, one daughter, fishing. We do a lot of walking and hiking. We get out on the boat once in a while. We do things like bike a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So we do things like that.
That's great.
And I'm not much of a, I don't make much. I'm not a great builder by any stretch of the imagination.
No, but what I just heard you say is that you make time, time other than your time as Larry, the radio guy.
Oh yeah.
To be with other people, and that's the key thing. That's one of the reminders that happens in the Woodlanders approach. It's like, look, it's time to slow down and do something else. So that when you come to these workshops, although you build the bench, you make the basket, it's an alteration of regular time. It's not like it's a job. So people make friends. There's a lot of making that goes on without it having to be a chair, you know. You make trouble. I mean, some people you know, I'm sure, make trouble.
Oh, yeah.
You make great meals. You make time to be with somebody. So that idea that we're all makers is the thing that gets reinforced. So Sandy very quickly went over the idea of I went on the fossil trip. Wisconsin, it's such a trip for me to go to. You know, I come from the East. We're different topography, different, just so many different things. So we go to this beautiful quarry, and there, we're picking up fossils and finding things that are 10, 15,000 years old.
Yeah.
And Shelley Ryan, you know Shelley?
Oh,
right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She found the most beautiful fossil. She was like floating at the end of it. I can't even remember all the things she found in it, but it was like this tableau with maybe a foot square, and it had the troglobites and the hemisobites and there's, and she knew all these things, and she said, "Oh my God, look at this!" And everyone came over, and all the fossil people were said, "Oh my God, Shelley, this is so cool!" So we're going to be out again at noontime in the Wisconsin sun, fossil hunting. So tell me how often you get to do something. Listen, what are you going to be doing that day? You want to come out?
I tell you what, it'd be a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun, and then the silly boat thing we do on Saturday night where they're full-grown adults are watching their boats get caught in the rapids, you know. So it's that level that gives you the laugh, that gives you the sense of relief, and then you go back to the other work. You know, half of work is rest, half of work is play, and that you can't just keep your nose on that grindstone all the time. Otherwise, you don't have a nose anymore.
Yeah, Denise in Madison, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Denise.
Hi, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I had a question about the most energy efficient use of an air conditioner. We do have an air conditioner, and we do use it when it's blazing hot out. And we have an argument in my household, which you can probably resolve. Generally speaking, say we want to keep the temperature at around 74, and it's really, really hot out. Are we better off to keep the air conditioner turned on and set at 74, and periodically it kicks on and off to keep it at that level? Or are we better to turn the air conditioner off, let the temperature get quite a bit higher, then turn it on for long enough to bring the temperature back down? Is there a simple answer to that question? And I'll turn off my phone and listen to your reply.
Mm-hmm. Dan, what do you think?
I think this is probably what should be handled by Larry, who's talked to many people about this. Again, this is out of my area.
Yeah.
And also, when she said you're in the middle of an argument in the family, if you want to get in there, Larry, go ahead.
Typically, I think it's better if you're going to run an air conditioner to rather than start it and stop it, to let it run and keep the constant temperature. I think you're further ahead dollar-wise, economy-wise, to do that. Now, one of the things that we're doing in our home right now to sort of mitigate the use of our air conditioner, which we have. We rarely use it anyway, but we've added, because we had some hail damage to our home, we had to re-side. And when we were re-siding, we decided to add additional insulation to the house. And the additional insulation to the house is going to keep the house cooler. We open the windows at night, and you know, like most people do, I think, and then we shut them down in the morning. And it stays pretty cool in the house now with the additional insulation. So that's something that we try to do. Jean in Ashland, I believe, has a question next. Jean, hi to you.
Hi. Just as an aside, I just read some literature that said if you're using an air conditioner, set it at 78.
78, and then just leave it there, yeah.
Yeah, well, no, yeah. Now, what I wanted to ask is, are you into solar cooking and LED light bulbs, and do you know where to get them?
All right. Solar cooking, Dan?
I don't think we're talking about that in our sustainable day. But, again, you see, this is wonderful to have so many kind of this wide range of questions. So that's not an area that I'm I know a little bit about it, but I'm not your telephone expert today about it. But again, if Jean would like to come to this, talk about it, present what she knows, ask her questions, that's the beginning of the group that begins to know, all together learn more about this.
Yeah, and there's some pretty cool things out there on solar cooking in particular. I know the University of Wisconsin College of Engineering has some research that's been done and some work that's been done on solar cookers. And there are, I believe, a couple of stories online about that work. And so you could check out the website at the University of Wisconsin's College of Engineering, UW-Madison College of Engineering. As for the LED lights, I'm not sure about that, but I would think there wouldn't be a problem. You probably ought to talk to your local power company for more information on that. I'm just not sure. Somebody should be able to tell you about getting LED lights in a particular area. Thanks for calling. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Luke in Chippewa. Luke in Chippewa Falls, I believe, is next. Let's try it. See if I can get Luke on here. Luke,
yes.
Hi. Go ahead.
Hi, Luke. I just called in, so I just missed it. Anyways, my question or concern is for sustainability. It comes down to the three R's: reduce, reuse, recycle. And it seems like over the years we've gotten really good at recycling. Reuse. I don't know. Probably about, in my opinion, about average. Just hasn't really gone anywhere on that. And reduce. Certainly not that. That's where we really need to go.
Yep.
The whole system without all three of these working together just isn't happening. Another thought I have with all these green products out these days is I'm kind of concerned about people dumping what they have that works for to buy something new and green. Are they really doing anything? For instance, my car that I'm driving right here right now, it works just fine. It's a Volkswagen Golf. I'm driving down the road getting maybe 30 miles a gallon. I could go buy a new Toyota Prius, but what is that going to do here? Because I'm dumping something that works that's going to, frankly, probably end up in a junkyard because it's not a really great car. It runs fine, but just isn't worth much. So with all these jumping on the bandwagon of buying green things, and we kind of got to look at that. Wind power, too, is the same thing. These wind generators, I'm sure, consume huge amounts of energy to manufacture, to transport, to construct. And that, I don't know, that has to be looked at too, in the whole system. I looked at doing wind power for my home, and it just wasn't there. Unless you have a huge economy of scale, you don't see really any payback in the end once you go all the way from raw materials to the end product.
Right. We talked about that. You probably got into the show a little bit late. We talked exactly about when someone called about wind power. So this is probably a second level or second generation discussion about sustainable living, the cost, the carbon footprint cost of the solutions.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. I appreciate your call very much. And we'll go to Joe in Menominee Falls next, I believe, is here. I'm hesitating a little bit because we have we sort of jerry-rigged our phone system here, so I'm having a little more trouble figuring out who's on which lines or if anybody's on a particular line. But I think we have Joe in Menominee Falls.
This Joe.
Hi, Joe.
How you doing? Say, you know, one thing we got to be careful of when we talk about these things is our accuracy. And this is a little bit picky, so forgive me for this, but those fossils you were talking about before,
yeah,
those aren't 15,000 years old. That would be about the Ice Age. Those are more like 500 million years old. It's the Cambrian era. And those are trilobites that you were finding.
Okay.
Again, a little bit picky, but great show, and you know, let's do more of what the fellow just called said, is use less.
Joe, thank you very much for calling. Now, see, now Joe is the guy that should be there and attending that fossil hunt.
Right. Let me just say one thing. The rustic mind is a little on the fuzzy side. So we often drop zeros off, add zeros on to things. So I've learned this. It hasn't quite entered the medical books as a disorder yet, but it's close. So that the mind that approximates things and misses is the same mind that makes rustic chairs and twig benches.
Okay. Falcon in Evansville, it's your turn. Hi, Falcon.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
And I want to say hi, Dan.
Hi, Falcon.
You?
Oh, nice to hear from you.
Yeah. So, you know, all these calls about people that are interested in sustainable living, the main thing I wanted to say is come to Woodlanders Gathering, because the skills that we teach and that we exchange with one another give a solid foundation and low-tech solutions to sustainable living. I mean, I'm going to teach a workshop that with a little bit of twine and a few sticks, you can make a whole house full of furniture. What's better than that?
Yeah.
Well,
the main thing about living the Woodlanders way is that you create things that you can use, and then those things can go back to nature as it was intended.
So essentially, we're building from small scale stock, you know, saplings, and in the forestry world, this is one of the focuses. What do you do with small diameter stock, something that's not lumber, it's not timber stock, and so there's, at least in the East, there's a lot of concern, a lot of interest in finding uses for this. So some of it turns into fencing, some of it turns into furniture. On a scale, of course, we're not talking very much, but it's a practice. It's a way of, I think the last fellow's point about the 3 R's is a good one, that it's a way to practice reusing something that otherwise would be discarded.
Yeah.
Right.
And you're going to be teaching, Falcon.
Yeah, I am. And I'm really honored and happy to be doing so. I'll be teaching the entwined table workshop and also a workshop on tree lore. So,
oh, good.
The only thing I want to say about those of us that are Woodlanders is that we may be a little fuzzy in the mind, but we are visionaries. Mm-hmm. Come to Woodlanders and learn a new way to look at the world.
Yeah. Thanks, Falcon. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's go back over some of the specifics for how people can attend the event, which, again, it's July 12th through the 16th. And as I understand it, you can attend one or all of the days.
Right. It depends on what your schedule is. And, again, it's a way for people to feed themselves. So the first day is this open day, the July 12th, on sustainable living. And you see from the nature of the phone calls, a lot of people want a lot of information about things, and that would probably be more of a left brain day, you mm-hmm. know, where we're swapping hard information. Here's, you go to that website, talk to this group. The other 3 days, it's information about building, collecting materials, invasive plants. It would be kind of certain kinds of practices, gardening, collecting, building practices, and then just a lot of visiting time. But those other 3 days have this kind of very wide range of workshops. And again, the website has all this information, and that's very simple. It's woodlanders.com.
Woodlanders.com. And again, people can phone to register for this at area code 608 608-987-3292, 608-987-3292. Dan, thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it very much.
Good.
And look forward to another visit.
Best to be nice there.
Thank you, Daniel. Daniel Mack is founder of the Woodlanders Gathering at Mineral Point, Wisconsin. It's coming up July 12th through the 16th. Go online to their website or give a call if you're interested in learning more about the event and about Woodlanders Gathering. Coming up, we're going to be talking silent sports. And lots to talk about there with Joel Patenaude, editor of Silent Sports Magazine. I'm Larry Mueller, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.